Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining this episode of The Powerhouse Perspective, Empowering Leaders for Business Breakthroughs. I am Scott Medeiros, the president of HelmWise, and this is Chandler Rose, the CEO of the Rosewood Family of Companies. And we often, during these podcasts, talk about different issues and elements that affect businesses, or what we call the ship. The ship is that entity on the ocean of business, which is very unpredictable, and the person leading that ship is a captain, the owner or the founder of that particular business. And so today, our subject is going to be on consistency. In order to get good business results, you must have consistent performance. But in order to get consistent performance, you must have a consistent culture. So today we're going to talk about consistency and specifically how we get a consistent culture and consistent performance. So Chandler, we know here in the Rosewood family of companies, we've got a whole series of values that we are consistent in making sure that we are keeping those front of mind in both the minds of our employees and those of our captains through our different operating companies or businesses. But that consistency, I'm sure, didn't come easily. You've been doing this for 16 years now. What do you think is one of the most fundamental things to get a consistent culture? So let's talk about the culture piece first.
The most elementary and crude is to realize you're going to repeat it until you want to vomit, which I've read a couple times.
Yes, I've read that a couple
and
places.
And it's very accurate. I mean, the consistency, the other, I think, real important thing to remember is that it's not very consistent. And so what it means, it ebbs and flows, just like your best effort. You want to do your best every day. The reality is, you know, consistency kind of swings towards what's the hot item. Even if you're staying on values, you'll focus in on one and maybe another one slips a little bit. And so really the consistent recommitment is, to me, more important than thinking you're going to go into this just regimented, it's going to stay all the time.
So there's a consistency that the cycle continues to repeat, but it is a cycle. It's constantly adapting, just like we talked about the business environment being like the sea state. That sea state's constantly ebbing and flowing, wave heights are changing, and so it requires adaptability, but a consistency of reinforcement, I think, as those changes are being made.
I think that if you recommit and you circle back to them, you give better examples that are more in tune with what's going on at the time in the business. So on a growth cycle, you know, pretty easy to rally around, you know, maybe a product you're launching or a big goal for a financial goal if you have a bunch of growth or a new client, whatever it is. And then plateau kind of changes how you keep people excited in their day-to-day business. Decline certainly creates a whole nother scenario. Mm-hmm. And then how you right the ship and the people that ride that out and turn it back up the other side. So there's a lot of scenarios, and I think that it can get stale if you don't take a more generalized approach that we're going to, on a consistent cycle, hone back in on the values. And then the other big one that we've used for as long as I can remember is, we had a discussion probably 2008 on whether your values that obviously are what are driving a lot of your culture,
right.
Whether those are guardrails or framework. And I have pretty adamantly, since long as I can remember, advocated that no, it must be infused in everything you do, must be infused in how you hire, fire, train, talk to clients, you know, deal with the departments, deal with your vendors, third parties. And there's a big difference in pointing out infusing the values versus using them as guardrails or a framework. And so I think that's a big part, and it challenges you as the leader, and it challenges the leaders below you to be creative, to look at how they're going to present information each day. And I think that goes right back to that sort of recommitment on a cycle of, hey, are these fresh? Have we thought of other ways to incorporate it into how we actually do business?
So the values kind of attract the people to the business, hopefully from both an employee as well as a leadership perspective. But I've also read, and this is going to Patrick Lencioni's books, he talks about the need to have a cohesive leadership team. So I think probably the pinnacle of getting consistency is ensuring that the leadership team is aligned. And we've talked about alignment on previous podcasts. So when you were putting together the Rosewood family of companies and bringing in people who were attracted to the values that you have set, what were one or two things you did to get those people consistent? because then now that's going to be infused, as you mentioned, to the different layers and dimensions of the organization. So was there, you know, you met at a certain time, or you found certain principles that you covered every single meeting? How did you get that sort of that cycle of doing things consistently when you were putting together the leadership?
Sure. Team? I mean, they're kind of distinct and they seem the same. You have the cycle of continuing to refresh and make sure you have, you know, relevant explanations, but you also have the drumbeat, which is something certainly you like from back in the military days. You know, so we incorporated them into every shift meeting start, pick a value. Every weekly meeting, there's a value. You do have to get regimented in some aspects of it. I just challenge people that if you get regimented and leave it at that, then it gets stale very quickly and you get into the problems, a lot of dopamine and everything else. So if you just, you know, you get a spike, you do the same action over and over, and people are less and less and less and less impressed with it. So if you don't commit to that second layer of kind of cycling through, are these fresh? Are they actually relevant to the group of employees we're speaking to the business situation, to the client? So it takes both.
And I know you're a student of neuroscience. So there's actually some neurochemistry that happens that people want to actually be consistent in what they do. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you got some of that because it's kind of a mix of neuroscience and actually some psychology. But, you know, if you go to Cialdini's influence, you certainly have oxytocin, which makes you want to group. One of the best ways to group and one of the most effective ways in civilization is to have consistent, incredible people. And so that builds communities. If you think way back in the, you know, time of dinosaurs, how do you start trusting each other? You have to start being consistent. So it is a great attribute for building community, building trust, building a culture, building, you know, a relationship. There are a few negatives we'll get into later that you have to be careful on consistency in constantly doing what you've done in the past, which you hear a lot. And so I have a good amount of experience in that one as well. Having had a couple of companies, we've taken out of tough financial situations. It's amazing the positive attribute of being consistent can become, I think it was Emerson said, the hobgoblin of small minds, where they just keep doing it because they've done it before.
Right.
And so you can put it on autopilot, it becomes a problem as a leader. Again, we talked about the values getting stale, the way you manage, you don't have situational awareness, something that you can speak to. So there's parts about it that you know, make it much more complicated than everyone just says, just be consistent. Scott, just consistently do this. And no, mindlessly, aimlessly being just consistent, you know, in nature will get you eaten. You don't want to be predictable, but you need to be predictable in how you, you know, we'll take an animal on the plains maybe.
Okay.
Like if you're a more intelligent primate or human, you know, be predictable maybe in how you go gather, you know, when the animals will be there, you know, when to go, but be predictable in the fact that you're going to evaluate, am I choosing different paths? Am I varying my habits? Am I being too predictable? If you read a lot about con artists and thieves and people like that, they love patterning people. And so if you let yourself get patterned, but even that is consistency. Do you consistently reevaluate your pattern? Do you consistently consider the scenario you're in? And so it's a positive attribute overwhelmingly, but it has some pretty sharp downsides on occasion for con artists and different things like that, and then losing interest to your teams and motivation.
Sure. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because as you were speaking, a couple of things came to mind. Is you're right. If you are building that consistency and it comes to a point where it becomes a routine and you're doing it because it's almost like you're on autopilot, that can be bad.
Very bad.
I know in the aircraft, we want to do things consistently. So we have a checklist, but what we do when we're going through the checklist is a challenge and response. So I will make a challenge and my co-pilot will respond back to try to get away from the fact that you're just going through it, right? I'm thinking I'm flipping a switch. I'm thinking I'm setting a circuit breaker because I'm just so used to saying it, but I'm not physically doing the things I'm supposed to do. The co-pilot catches that. And, you know, there's also the status quo. We become comfortable with consistency. As you mentioned, there's some of that psychological aspect to it, But that can be a death blow to a business that doesn't adapt. It doesn't see things differently. So I think the point that you mentioned about being consistent in your thought process, the way in which you evaluate things, I think is where the benefit of consistency comes. Not simply, hey, this is what we do it this way every single time, but rather, are we asking the right questions, going back to our core discipline within HelmWise, the right question at the right time, at the right depth? How do we do that? How do we ensure that we're not getting stale? I think that's probably the most important thing about that consistent approach.
And I think depth is a good way to look at it. If you go to, you know, if you're a line worker, you know, most of the time you want them obviously being very consistent.
Yes.
But even that position, if you want to evolve and stay in business and continue to get better, so origins of Lean Six Sigma and those type things, you've got to come back and take a step back. But if you go by depth, I would say the closer you are to the action, probably the more consistent you want to be and just get it done, get it done, get it done, come up every once in a while. The further you go up the chain, I would think that reevaluation would be wise more often.
Yeah, interesting. You mentioned Lean Six Sigma. So part of what we call the DMAIC process, define, measure, improve, analyze, improve, and then control. In order to measure something, you need to do things consistently. Otherwise, you've got nothing to compare it to. And so in a manufacturing sense, you want that consistency because that's going to tell you whether or not you're getting less and less defects in that process. But sometimes in more of a non-manufacturing business, that routine, as I mentioned earlier, can seriously impact your innovation, right? Because you don't even think about things. I'm thinking back now to the classic case of Kodak that didn't evolve. Even though all the things were there, they were actually set in their ways that this is what we do, and they couldn't see the need to adapt. And so while I'm a fan of consistency, you're causing me to think about it differently and not get so much into just doing it the same way every single time, because that can actually be too dangerous.
Well, and the divide may be where Cialdini calls it commitment and consistency.
Okay.
So he combines the two together. And so you've got to be maybe analyzing why you commit and then be consistent. If you commit, if the beginning of a day or a new engagement or a new client or a new product, you did a quick analysis whether you want to commit again. And once you commit, then certainly you need to be consistent. You need to follow through. You need to finish unless something, you know, really unpredictable pops in there. But the commitment consistency paradigm is certainly one. And your autopilot, when, you know, we all do that. It's only so many decisions you can make in a day. I mean, think how many decisions you made driving to work.
Right.
All of those were out of consistency in your brain automatically moving things. If you had to stop and think of all decisions, you would get nothing done.
Yeah, good
point. So it's just not possible.
Good point.
So it's a really hard one actually to defend against, which again, we'll get to in a little while, but you know, it's very good for business. It's very good for predictability. It does build cohesion and builds trust. And then there are a few areas that you just have to watch out because like most things that are good, there's always a pitfall and someone out there looking to manipulate and benefit from it.
Yeah, so you just mentioned predictability, which then caused me to quickly go into credibility and this relationship between credibility and consistency. You know, John Maxwell in his book, The 16 Undeniable Laws of Communication, will talk about the fact that it's if you want to be consistent in order to be credible, and that credibility is what gives you the power of your communication. And so there is a part of that. There is a part that if a customer came to your enterprise and every customer you treated differently, it would be kind of hard to figure out how credible really are you. Are you just scatterbrained? Or is there a need to be that specific to each nuance of that particular customer? Because I think all of us want to come in and see things in a consistent manner because that helps us give us confidence in that the quality of service that we're going to receive is right. I was recently on a trip a couple of days ago and went through a Chick-fil-A, right? They're so consistent in the process and they're so consistent in preparation of that food. So you know that no matter what Chick-fil-A you go to, just like the old McDonald's, that you're going to get the same flavor of that burger, of that chicken nugget. So in that case, consistency is why people go. They're credible because they deliver a consistent product. But at the same time, that could be a death blow, as we mentioned earlier, to a business when the landscape is changing, right? If we continue to, if we were Chick-fil-A and we're continuing to make the chicken nuggets, but we didn't see the fact that people are moving away from chicken and going to some other food that they enjoy, then we would miss the boat. We didn't adapt. Our consistency actually served as an anchor rather than being a propelling force.
Yeah, and I think it is such a strong desire among most to have it and be viewed as consistent that we also, you know, we saw it taking companies, employees that had been in bankruptcy coming out or buying or acquiring companies or having to pivot complete offerings in the past, that you inevitably, everyone's heard this, well, we've always done it that way.
Yes.
So in spite of glaring objective indicators that doing it that way is not a good idea, it is more comfortable and more desirable to stay consistent. Mm-hmm. And some of that's fear, some of it is habit, some of it's lazy thinking, some of it is attributed to various other issues when you talk about trying to build a cohesive culture that includes diverse people and diverse opinions. You know, a lot of that we attribute. Some of it certainly is malice and bad intent, but there's a good chunk that I would argue, because I point out that, you know, despite having people that had been in bankruptcy for a year, coming as a new owner.
It's a great story.
Coming as a new owner and you say, hey, I think we might want to change this. Well, we don't want to change that. We've always done it this way. You've been in bankruptcy for a year and makes some clue. So if something that jarring and shocking doesn't move people off of their position, right, I do think it is a very strong impulse to just stay in the way we've done it. It succeeded in the past, which is sometimes a kiss of death as well, because it worked before. And things change. And so that's where we talk about, you know, that other part of getting a layered view of consistency. I think as a boss, you have to do that. And if you don't layer that out when you do communication, which I know you have some of the laws from Maxwell to cover, but I think, one, you look unpredictable to your client, because if you know that you want to consistently deliver in alignment with our values and you don't put any more carve outs on that. Basically, you take their scope of work or their SLA and you say, we're going to consistently deliver that with our values without any carve outs. You can't put too many, because then you look like you're, you know, setting up excuses before.
Sure.
But the reality is, hey, if it's delivered, if the situation is the way you said it was, you know, as long as everything works out the way, we will deliver and we can consistently move up a layer and say, but we will always do whatever we have to do to pivot and adjust and communicate whenever there is a, you know, deviation from the plan we thought we had. So you can kind of layer up, and that way, you know, you can work through it. It works the other way around. I was in a meeting yesterday, actually, for a good while with a gentleman who was not very excited about the consistency at which a new product was being rolled out. And I don't think that there was actually any really distrust or upset over the new product, because he knew it was complicated, it was going to be hard to do, and it was going to be an evolving, changing development. I think if we had layered a little closer, said, but even as we're working through this, we're going to have a once-a-week update on items outstanding, where we are, what's moving forward, what's not moving forward, so you could build in other consistencies around something you know we don't have a lot of control over, and that gives comfort that they're in the loop, they've been communicated with, they know what's outstanding on, you know, one side of the business deal, one side and the other side. And so you can build credibility around a very unpredictable situation, again, by viewing it in kind of layers to me. And so I don't know how you would describe it as opposed to layers, but to me, I look at where can I get consistent and then where must I have that cycle of change?
Yeah. And the more that we're talking about this, the more words are and things are coming to mind, because it sounds like a simple concept, just be consistent, right? And now that we're talking about, well, but if you're too consistent, that could be detrimental to your business. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, you want to be consistent because that builds credibility. And then I'm also saying, okay, how does that tie into congruency or authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. What you say versus what you do, right? You could be consistent in your words and inconsistent in your actions. That's going to be incongruent. That's going to then perhaps degrade credibility. So there are all these little pieces that go into it. A simple concept of consistency, which everyone I think would nod in the right direction to say we would like that, but there's more to it. There's more depth to that, as you mentioned earlier. And so when I start thinking about that, and I start thinking about, okay, how do you develop a consistent culture? And that comes into words and actions, right? And so you've got to be consistent between those two. And how aware are we that we are being consistent? So now you're bringing self-awareness into the equation as well. Because I don't believe, or I believe that you must have a consistent culture before you have a consistent performance. Because without that, then there are just too many other things that are dragging you. What is the right thing to do? What is the decision here? Where should I, go above and beyond or stay very, very strict to this particular parameter? Because the culture is going to help guide that. And it's the consistency of that culture that gives you the framework to function within it, which then brings higher performance.
Oh, I think you're 100% correct there. In my experience, coming into an industry I knew nothing about, I didn't know how to improve the actual performance, to be honest. Mm. I didn't know how to go to the projects and say, but we did immediately go to what our values were, what we consider professional, roll out programs to communicate as much and often to get some of the, rigid consistency of communicating that out, talking with the teams, treating them like professionals, building a culture with the anticipation when they felt like professionals, they would deliver like professionals. And they did, and they do. And it's harder with certain groups of people. We work a wide range from blue-collar workers that we don't see often. They're spread throughout the country, and at one point Mexico and Canada, to, mm-hmm. Tech and white-collar. Certainly it's different remote versus, in a warehouse or in an office setting. But you have to find ways to just pound it home. Like I said, we opened up until you literally want to throw up this over and over, and you think that you've said it so many times that they don't want to hear you say it again. Just keep going, because some of them, it just takes that many times to start, I am part of this culture. I am a professional. I do believe in spirit of excellence, and I'm going to deliver excellence. And if you push that, so it's kind of a hard thing. We're talking on both sides of our mouth for sure.
Yeah.
But I do believe that it is... In my mind, you got to be careful when you get down to the specific. If you get really consistent in the specific, small, lowest level details, then you're not seeing much of your surroundings, which is another term certainly you've talked about before when you're training pilots situation. Like you're not looking up, and you're not looking up, you're in big trouble. And so, as a leader, it's your job to put the people who need to be heads down where they're safe, and your job to watch out for them and call out when they need to change the way they're doing things. And as you move up the ladder, you have more responsibility for looking out ahead. I know you like to use time frames of certain levels are looking out a day, certain levels looking out a week, a month,
correct.
A quarter, a
correct.
Year.
And correct.
So maybe you can speak to that of kind of how that might play into that reevaluation of consistency.
Well, in reality, we're taking consistency and breaking into smaller pieces. And so, the analogy that Chandler was talking about is that the closer you are to the work, the shorter your time frame. Mm-hmm. So if you are a frontline worker, you're worried about that particular task that you're doing, and maybe you're doing it over the case of a shift. And so you've got an 8-hour, 10-hour period of time that you're doing things consistently, so you're producing enough widgets and you're hitting the right parameters and you're doing things to have a consistent level of quality. But then as you move up, it starts to expand as far as time. Now you're that ship supervisor or manager. You're not worried about today's production. You may be worried about production for this week or this month. Then you go up to another layer and someone's worried about how are we going to produce this quarter, because now it starts talking about finances and budgets and all those things that have been laid out for that year. And then you finally get your way up to the top of the food chain into the C-suite, and they're thinking about what is our annual plan or what is our 3 or 5 year plan, because that's their time horizon. If they were worried about the widget that's being made at the shift today, then you would never actually scale out or zoom out in order to predict what you should do for the next 1, 3, 5, potentially 10, maybe even longer time frame. And so, but it's also impossible for a person to be at the macro and the micro level. And that's why it's important that consistency is driven down through your culture and now down through your processes so that they can see that those Lego blocks are building upon one another. So whether you're at the top, you can start decomposing it down. And if you're at the bottom, you understand how your piece adds on to someone else's piece to build the bigger picture as you move up. But that has to be consistent, because if they don't see how those pieces come together, because we're talking three or four different models or three or four different frameworks, or this shift does things differently than another shift, or this manager does things differently than another manager, or even this executive has different mannerisms or different way in which they communicate than others. Now it's like, okay, well, do we follow this path? Do we follow that path? So the consistency is a key component. But it comes with the consistency of culture first, because that is the framework. You know where you need to serve or what decisions you're going to need to make. And more importantly, where are the things that we cannot compromise on? And I think that is another piece of consistency that, no, we don't do that, right? That's inconsistent with our values. Therefore, we're not going to do that. Because it doesn't take very often for someone to work inconsistently or be beyond the parameter that the whole thing falls over like a house of cards. And so that's where you're going to be tough.
The same consistent culture drumbeat, as opposed to way down into the weeds, also allows when things don't go as planned. So then they can look to what is consistent. So, hey, I don't have a contingency for this, but we're always talking about running our business X, Y, and Z. So that gives them guidance, even in unknowns, of, hey, if I'm in line with that, I've applied it best I can, then I'm in good shape. And overwhelmingly, more times than not, they're going to give you a good outcome. May not be the one Scott and I want, but it may be a perfectly acceptable outcome, or it may be a better outcome. But I think that it is important to continue to drive that home.
Yeah, I've also seen it recently in when you talk about businesses in niches, right? So we try to help businesses make sure that they're being successful in their industry. And when you're working with small businesses, one of the problems they get into is they try to be everything to everyone, and they get very, very wide. And then it starts coming, well, do I come to you when I've got a problem with my, you know, my heat pump, or do I come to you when I got a problem with my lawnmower? Because you told me you can fix this and that, right? You're a machinist and you can do these things. And so there's also the consistency of what do we do? And if you don't actually try to differentiate yourself, that can be a problem. And I see that in processes, because one of the things I want to do with small businesses especially is improve, is to add value, is to scale. And the only way you can do that is have something to build upon. So you know that when a company starts to get bigger, whether that's with new clients or perhaps higher revenue, where are those things going to break? Because the process has been built to handle so much throughput, so much demand, and where are the places where it's going to start to be stretched or stressed so that you can adapt it appropriately for the next phase, for the next level of demand. But unless you're doing things consistently, you don't know what to fix, what to reinforce, because there's nothing that is being done in the same way for you to say, oh, I can see how that is actually going to come unglued when I start, you know, 2 or 3 or 5xing the demand, because I don't know how we do that. We don't do it the same way all the time. So how do I know it's going to fail this time versus that time? So from a process perspective, I want that consistency, but it's always geared towards understanding how it can then be leveraged or adapted or improved or scaled so that you can continue to grow. So there's the consistency with the cyclic or the cyclical nature that we talked about in the beginning.
Yeah, and the looking over the horizon, you start looking at growth.
Yes.
What do I consistently need to build upon? And I think that's where you have to be heads up as you move up the organization and look around more often. A couple of key points you mentioned on how to build this from a more practical standpoint. Obviously, we talked about communicating outwardly, vocally. One that I know you liked that ratchets it up a little bit in the data is certainly getting them to vocalize back, which you mentioned in the helicopter when you have the co-pilot.
Correct. Challenge. Yes.
Yep. And then third is get them to write it or sign it, and certainly boost people in studies willingness to be consistent in how they act. And so that's a big deal. Another area to really amp that up more, if you have internal, you know, publications or meetings is to publicize the people that have written to agree to that. And so a lot of studies show that people that signed a pledge, the pledge was made public even after they stopped giving them recognition, getting any bonuses back. People will keep doing it because it became, not only did they vocalize it, they wrote it, now it's public out into the greater community, and their desire to stay committed and consistent will drive them even when the incentive goes away. They'll keep doing it for a long time. So those things are important when you're trying to create positive culture, positive behavior within an organization.
Because there is that connection between consistency and commitment, as you mentioned from Cialdini. There was a big book called The E-Myth, and in there they talk about the need to define your roles and responsibilities and then have the individual sign those roles and responsibilities as a way to say, not only do I understand what they are, I am now committing through my signature that I am going to be responsible and I'm going to perform against those roles and responsibilities, which then brings consistency.
And then we celebrate all those by putting them in a newsletter that signed up to be that consistent, and you can take it up a notch.
Yes.
Couple of additional, I guess, more specific warnings. This is exactly how a lot of old people get taken advantage of on the scams that hit old people. Mm. They will either talk about something they've done in the past. A lot of times they have not. Like, oh, Scott, I called you up. You've committed in the past to do this. Won't you do this again? And as you lose capacity to make a lot of decisions, like we spoke about earlier, old people are more vulnerable to rely on being consistent because they know that allows them to control their day more often. Foolish fortress, just to reiterate how hard people will cling to what they've done in the past or what they hold to be, you know, a consistent. There's a lot of studies that show that even when they see fraud, people will continue to do stuff. I've given the example before of self-help gurus where a couple of psychologists went in, proved that the guy was all false. He got more signups than he got in the past. And the reason is people would rather hold to that consistent feeling that that's going to help them because it alleviates their health concerns. They're more like it gives them a release. And so they'll stay consistent just to have the release, even if they know the consistency is not good.
Wow.
And so some studies on that. Defenses are pretty hard. Like I said, it's probably one of the top three most to me. I say you show up, you move with a sense of purpose, you do your best, and you're consistent. We can make you, you know, you follow our values, obviously, but you can make that person into a great employee. So it's one of the top attributes we're looking for. Defenses are fairly hard. I mean, really, you know, you have to have some kind of check of putting your head up, looking over the horizon. You know, next ones they lean on, which are not scientific by any stretch, is a gut feeling. And a gut feeling is one you should listen to and just take a quick look around. And so it's pretty hard. There's no hard and fast rule because overwhelmingly it is a positive attribute for the company, for you as a family member, for you in society.
Right.
And so just be aware there's several instances where they'll do this at Christmas time's coming up. So it's a good one. Retailers, not saying all of them, but a few of them will advertise a toy. The toy's not there. You've already committed and you want to be a consistent parent. So you took your kid to go get it. They'll buy a replacement toy, and then they'll make sure you know when the actual toy gets in, so then they get to sell you two things.
That's
a pretty well-known, they've got you committed to someone you care about. You'll buy something else, a replacement, and then you'll actually, if they follow up, sending you some flyers and things like that, or at this point, it'll hit some social media or your kid's game, and then you'll go buy them the actual toy later, and they get a double up on you, so be aware.
Well, you mentioned how difficult some of the defenses are, and that caused me to think about, even when you talk about values, we say we want to be consistent with the values because that allows us to be consistent with our processes, et cetera. But we also talked about this need to be adaptable and to be aware of change. So when is the right time to be inconsistent or start to change your values? And I say this only because, you know, from the military, depending on your viewpoint, one would say that the standards have changed. The question is why did the standards change? If we want to be consistent in turning out Marines or turning out airmen or turning out soldiers, you'd want that standard to be consistent. That way you've got a consistent product. But we tend to then move the bar, hopefully sometimes up, but in many cases down. Is that because we're trying to be consistent with our psychological needs?
Culture changes for sure. I mean, this is one area where AI will never solve the riddle because it can't. And so I've been in a lot of discussions with folks on that recently. So it can give you the, you know, say it's the best AI in the world, it'll give you what you should do. By the book, you should do it. Well, where is the morale? Where is the fear of the people that are working for you? You know, how does opportunity look? How does, there's all these things in life that play out. Where are those people personally? There's no machine that'll ever be able to do that. Humans have the ability to go, well, you know, they say, oh, they're reading facial recognition. They can hear phone, you know, they can hear inflection. They can do that. But that doesn't mean that your idea to consistently roll the next big, you know, let's call it upgrade to a program when your team has been beat down, been working long hours to hit a deadline, had a big, you go roll it out just out of the sheer fact that I'm being consistent. You just keep marching the troops.
Yes.
I'm just going to march them because we said we're marching.
That's right.
You know, the 20 miles a day is a great example, but it wasn't 20 miles a day, no matter what period. It was 20 miles a day on average.
On average, right.
And so the consistently was we had to have to get a 20-mile pace. It was not ignorance of it's a blizzard outside for Shackleton, if you don't know this one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, can you tell what you mean by 20 miles?
That was the attempt to get to the South Pole, correct? Yeah, South
yes,
Pole.
Yes, correct.
And so they had a couple of folks that happened to be sort of racing and who was sponsoring who. But, you know, one of the best attributes, and certainly this is for distance runners, things I definitely don't want to do. But, you know, the 20 miles is, that is the goal. But the goal itself is not so strict that the goal is no matter what. The goal is that's the average. And so I do think that we just have to be, the human side has to play in, and it is a fatal mistake and certainly sets you up for being manipulated and taken advantage of if you blindly, like we talked about, don't acknowledge one, where's your team? Where's your employee? Where's your client? Where's the economy? You know, what is actually going on? Has the whole sea state, as we use our metaphor, changed? So there's lots of things between the people, the sea state. Really, what has, is your business able to do it? We're going to consistently move forward. There comes a point where you outrun your capacity and you outrun your technology or you outrun your finances. So you must think. And so there's no way consistency gets you out of thinking and interpreting.
Yes, yes. But I've seen situations where you set a metric or a target, and let's say it's being measured weekly, and week after week, we're not hitting the target. And then there's this tendency to want to lower the target so that we can continue to hit the target. And so in reality, you're adapting the standard just so that you can be consistent in your achievement of the standard. Now, I think that is appropriate going back to thinking. If indeed the target has been set and now experience shows that it's not obtainable, mm-hmm. then that seems crazy to keep on trying to do something you're never going to obtain. So then there's some adjustment that would do that. But I think there's a tendency to want to adjust things to make consistency easier. When in reality, if we want high performance, we want those who are stretching to hit those next targets and be consistent at hitting those now increasing targets, because that's going to drive innovation. That's going to drive higher performance. So it's almost a fight against the desire to make things easy in order to be consistent psychologically and to demonstrate that commitment. At the same time, keeping consistent in your ability to try to strive for more.
So they're always fighting. If you took purely achievement and you took consistent improvement, eventually you won't achieve. And so if you value saying I always achieve more than you value stretching, so you're still, no matter how much you tighten this down, I mean, you know, there's still tolerances within machines. So if you get outside of humans, there's only so much you can push them before they'll break and you've got to come up with new things. It is on the whole a very good, powerful discipline to have to create the consistency, be credible, uphold your commitments, do what you're supposed to do. There is certainly a downside. There's very few, even great things that don't have a pretty serious downside.
Right.
Gratitude comes to mind as yes. probably one of the few that you can
be consistently grateful.
I don't have a big downside on. Even yes. love, if you interpret it wrong, can be bad. Charity certainly can be bad. So very few things that are good, but it is a top, I would say top three, top four attribute if you want to do any level of business or even be responsible in your family. If you want your family members to look at you, your friends to look at you and say, that's a person that we can count on.
Mm-hmm.
You must embody some of it.
Absolutely. So let's wrap it up there. I like the fact that we talked about a subject of consistency and found out that it's inconsistent, right? But it also goes back into our whole sea metaphor, that mm-hmm. the sea state's constantly changing. We talk about our core discipline of asking the right question at the right time, at the right depth. And the thing is, that question will change, and it will change because conditions change. And so, but if you go through the consistent thought process of yep. doing the things, if you're consistent in understanding psychology and where some of these things may be pulling you in a different direction, so if you're consistent in your awareness, that's going to be positive. If you're going to be consistent in your values, if what you say are indeed consistent and congruent with what you're doing, that's going to help to its credibility. And if you're credible, that's going to help in your continued improvement or continued satisfying your clients from a customer satisfaction standpoint. So it was a good conversation. I didn't expect it to go that direction. I write some of these things down sometimes and we kind of move around, but I think I got more out of this session through that dialogue than I did initially when I put it together. So.
Yeah, I mean, one of our other key concepts is certainly there's, you know, looking for the right answer. It's the whole,
yeah.
you know, we use you can't step in the same river twice. It may be the perfect answer for this, to your point, this day, this week, this quarter.
Correct.
That doesn't mean it's the perfect answer any longer. And so as you move up, you must get, to your point, that discipline of looking around and making sure it's correct. But you must be very consistent in committing yourself to rededication to the values, rededication right. to building out processes that are consistent and are more driven down through the organization. And I think that you'll get there. But it's not a... We have lots of good textbooks, great authors,
yes.
great advice.
Yes.
If it would all stay static like this piece of paper, it would be easy and there wouldn't need to be this many books or podcasts about it probably.
That's true. That's true.
Thank you, Scott.
I appreciate it. Thank you all for joining the Powerhouse Perspective. We'll see you next time. Have a great day. Cheers.
Take care.